your coat, grab your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Can't you hear that pitter-patter?
I hear it.
And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street.
I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade.
But he's not afraid. This rover crossed over.
And if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
With gold dust at his feet, on the sunny side of the street.
And Tony Bennett. Now, would you ever put them together? It's like crisps and popcorn. Willie Nelson and Tony Bennett. They were just fantastic, weren't they, Sinead?
They were gorgeous. They anyway, shouldn't go, but they do.
Sinead Renshaw is sitting in with me, our broadcast coordinator, because Sinead has something to contribute to our next item. Have you not, Sinead?
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure many of you, if you haven't already, are currently planning your summer holidays, if you're lucky enough to be able to take a summer holiday. Back in the day, most of you would pour over a variety of glossy holiday brochures. Then you'd go into your local travel agent, who would advise you on options, availability and costs, and then book the whole package for you there and then. And that still happens today. And some people still prefer to do that. And that's okay. But a lot of people choose to go online and do it themselves. And one of the most popular such holiday website is TripAdvisor, who set up offices here in Ireland last year and are now planning on expanding over the next few years. And we've got an official spokesperson from TripAdvisor, and his name is James Kay. Hello, James. How are you?
Hello, very well.
Very nice to talk to you. You're the official spokesperson for TripAdvisor, it says here. Is that what you do all the time, go around speaking on behalf of TripAdvisor?
Well, yes. Largely, there's other parts of the day job as well, but yes.
Well, you're sitting in the BBC studios in London for us today, and very much appreciate you coming in. So tell me a little bit about TripAdvisor, and just bear in mind, there will be some people out there who still don't know what TripAdvisor is. I know that's going to come as a complete shock to you, but go on anyway.
No, you're quite right. There are some people that don't know about the site. I mean, basically, we are a website where people can find out what other travellers think about hotels, restaurants, attractions. So when you're planning your next trip, whether it be a holiday trip or a business trip, you can find out what other people have thought of the places you're potentially going to. So What we hope is that it's a great tool for people to help them plan their next trip, work out where they're going to go, and make sure that their hard-earned money is going on something that's going to deliver.
Now, who set it up?
So the CEO of the company is a guy called Stephen Corfer, who he founded the company back in 2000 above a pizza shop in Boston. He set up the website, and basically he was trying to plan a romantic trip for him and his wife, and he was doing some research online and found that there was really nowhere you could go to see what other travellers had experienced and see what they thought. So he set up this website and made it easy for people to submit reviews, and found very quickly that that's what people were gravitating to both submitting reviews themselves, but also checking out what other people had written as well. And the site has grown from there, and now we've got over 150 million reviews on the site, and we have nearly 250 million people visit the site every month.
Isn't that just extraordinary? Will you tell me, though, how do you make money?
So one of the things you can do on the site, as well as reading the reviews, you can actually check, you can compare the prices. So if you're looking at a hotel, you can see what Expedia, Booking.com and various other partners can offer you price-wise. And once you've found the best price, you can click through from the site, and then we get a little bit of commission from that. And then there's other ways as well, obviously advertising on the site and some of the services we offer to business owners as well.
Yeah, it's fair to say that you can go on. There are many price comparison sites out there. Trivago is another one. Hotels.com. No, they don't compare, I don't think. But the Trivago certainly is another one that compares hotel prices when you're booking a holiday. But I suppose where you differ is the fact that you offer reviews there as well. So well, I can go on, I can say, oh, well, I might go to Spain and I might book this hotel. I wonder what it's like. And I can type in the name of the hotel and the place and off I go from there.
Absolutely. Our site is very much all about the reviews. And that's something we're very proud of. We're very proud of our independence as a website as well. Somewhere you can go on and get the kind of real view of a place. And the fact that you can go on and then find the best price as well, we think is a pretty good combination.
Now, how can you be sure the reviews that are written are honest?
Well, I mean, that's certainly one of the key guidelines we have is to make sure that the reviews are genuine. And there's an awful lot we do to police that. We're very aggressive in how we fight fraud. So actually, every single review that gets submitted to the website has to first go through what we call our tracking system, mm-hmm. which looks at hundreds of different things to do with the review. But it basically builds a picture of the kind of who, what, where, when of every review. And from there, we're able to spot what is normal review behaviour and what isn't. And that really helps us weed out who the fraudsters are, and we're able to catch them and penalise them. But thankfully, it's an extremely small percentage of the reviews we get submitted. And because of the scale of the site, if you go on any one hotel or restaurant, you're likely to get, you know, tens, hundreds of reviews. I think there is an honesty in numbers. You will be able to get a very accurate picture of a place just from the sheer weight of reviews that are on there.
Well, let's talk now to Ronan Ryan. Yeah, he has a restaurant here called Pizza e Porchetta. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. At any rate, it's in Dublin's Grand Canal Dock. Hello, Ronan. How are you today?
Hey, Derek.
The name of your restaurant, will you pronounce it for us, please?
Pizza e Porchetta. You were dead right.
Pizza e Porchetta. Were you always there, or was there another restaurant there before you went in?
We opened here in 2006. It used to be Frank's before that.
That's right.
And then Treasury Holdings took it over in 2009. And then we kind of came back in and just before Christmas.
So are you an Italian restaurant, can I glean from the name?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So sort of a modern Italian with a pizzeria sort of tacked on.
All right. So what's your experience with TripAdvisor?
Oh, it's been pretty much good over the years. We've been we follow it. I would say religiously is the wrong word, but I was in the States for a long time, and it's bigger in America than it is in Europe. You know, people are swear by it before they go to a restaurant and stuff. I think maybe not so much here, but I presume the spokesperson there might disagree with me. But I'm a huge fan of it. There is a few anomalies which stick out, and it takes a while for you to get anyone's attention to take them down. You know, like something that's grossly wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that about anyone's business. You couldn't go on and say a dentist is €250 on a website about it to sit down in this guy's chair, because you'd ruin his business. But you can say, oh, it's €250 for dinner in my restaurant tonight when it's 50 for two. And, you know, then I have to send 40 emails to try and get that right, which is... I think there should be an emergency button for owners to press and say, like, this is completely wrong.
Well, did something happen to you? Tell me what happened to you.
No, it was kind of a funny one that happened on Good Friday. I get alerted, you know, when you have a new review, and it was a 3 out of 5 star one. And I was like, okay, well, that's it's not a totally bad one. And I didn't look at it till later and on the computer, and it said didn't get to eat there. And I was like, oh, and it said we rolled up last Wednesday, sat outside for 20 minutes, nobody came near us, so we left. And, you know, the place looked good, so I'm giving it 3 out of 5. But, like, people spend thousands of euros doing this thing up, and they don't even have any decent service. But this sort of, we were closed at that time. we're closed now between 3 and 5. And we do lunch, and then we do dinner. So there might be one person inside, you know, stocking up or something, but we're actually closed.
But do you leave your chairs outside on the pavement?
Well, yeah, they're kind of, it's kind of a sort of big marble tables and stuff that we kind of rent from the council outside, and it's kind of fixed. So there's no settings on, there's no menus, there's no cutlery, there's no anything. There's just, you know, and some people use it for if they want a cigarette or something. In the local offices, we let people kind of, so it's not strange to have a couple of people sitting outside. So
and the person who's working inside was busy doing what they do between shifts.
Yeah, you don't even, like, I mean, I'm looking at it now and I turn around, but I have my back to it. It's not, you know, but the, you know, times are on the window. Listen, it was a genuine mistake. It was kind of funny.
But still, not good for you. You're annoyed by it, obviously.
Well, they just said that we didn't bother going out to a customer, and they said we'll never return. So I responded to them and said, listen, the next time from the UK, the next time you're over, it'd be great if you could drop by when we're open. But
you think there should be some kind of emergency button? What would you say to that now, James? An emergency button for hoteliers or restaurateurs or whatever the services you happen to be offering, if you're a bar owner or whatever?
Well, we do make it very easy for owners to be able to report reviews to us if they consider them suspicious in some way. They can do that through their management centre. Anyone using the site can do it, actually. Alongside every review, there's a problem with this review button you can click, and many people do, and that helps us. And we do investigate all of those reviews that get reported to us. And we also have a customer support phone line for owners, which we set up in the last few years to kind of make sure that we are as responsive as we can be. I mean, I think the example that Ronan gives there is actually a very good example of why we have what we call a management response on the website, which basically gives owners the opportunity to write a reply to every review that anyone then going on the site can read, and they can get their side of the story. So I think anyone reading, you know, Ronan's reply to that review would see that, you know, there was obviously a misunderstanding from the customer's point of view, and I don't think it would do hopefully any harm to the business. But I think what you have to understand when most people go on and use our site, the value of it is you're not just reading one person's opinion and taking that as gospel. You're reading a lot of people's opinion and getting the weight of that opinion. It's very like polling in that way. You know, if you speak to pollsters, they always say that the more people you ask, the bigger the sample size, the more accurate the poll. And I think it's the same with online reviews.
I'm just wondering, though, how do you stop somebody like Ronan? If Ronan wanted to say his restaurant was fabulous and write a few reviews himself using different email addresses and assumed names, I mean, how could you stop that from happening? Not that I'm saying you do that, Ronan, don't get me wrong. But anybody could do that, let's be honest about it. The Mooney Show is the best radio programme in Europe. You should tune in every day. And I could assign myself Nuna or something like that.
We have a whole team globally of about 200 people who are what we call content experts. So that their whole job is to look at that and make sure that doesn't go on. And bear in mind, a lot of the fraud detection techniques we use are very similar to what credit card agencies use, what banks use. We've taken a lot of that expertise. And
so you can see it coming from the same device. Each device has an individual number, hasn't it? A unique number.
There's lots of different things we can track. I mean, we call them electronic attributes, but there's hundreds of them that we're able to track with every review. And as I said before, it basically, you know, we've been doing this for over a decade now. There's over 150 million reviews and opinions on the site. We're very good at spotting what a normal person behaves like when they go on and leave a review. And, you know, fraudsters know that a single review isn't going to have a huge impact. So very often they'll try multiple attempts and they'll behave abnormally. And that's how we were able to catch them.
Ronan, listen, just before you go, you might just remind people what your opening times are.
We open for coffee from 8 right through, and then you can have lunch from 12 to 3 and then 5 till 10:30 for dinner.
Well, that's Ronan. Thank you very much indeed. He's the owner of
very much.
Pizza Eporchetta on Dublin's Grand Canal Dock. But I'm just wondering, how far would you let somebody go, James, if somebody was to really fire off some venom about a hotel or restaurant or bar they were in? I mean, do you curtail what they say? And
oh yeah, I mean, there's clear guidelines of the kind of things that we would allow and wouldn't allow, and obviously there's things like language and various other factors in there. So that there are plenty of instances when we do take down a review because it doesn't meet our guidelines. We're very sensitive to that.
Now, Sinead, you use TripAdvisor.
All the time.
Have you any suggestions for James?
Oh, goodness gracious. Where do you start with that one? I've done an awful lot of travelling in my time, and I would say the amount of times that I've booked a hotel or a B&B without checking it out on TripAdvisor first would be very, very slim indeed. The variety of establishments that you can review on there is always a good thing. What I would like to see would be, you know, if you read a comment and it says, I don't know, the Grand Hotel in Paris, you know, sort of Joe Block stayed there on this date and had a fabulous time, but there was very little parking and the breakfast was cold every morning. To have a little thing saying agree or disagree. So if you've stayed there, you've also had that experience. You can say, you know what, that's true. Little green thumb to you. Or, you know, sort of, no, I didn't find that true at all. Little red thumb. That you can sort of contribute to your own opinions that way. But the thing that I love about TripAdvisor and other websites like that is the hidden gems that you can find. You know, you can sort of...
Like what, Sinead?
Well, for example, I was in Germany a few years ago and I wanted to find a nice, cheap hotel for my parents to stay in. I was taking them to the Christmas markets in Baden-Baden. And I wanted to get somewhere that was fairly central, but, you know, not particularly pricey. And found one that... It was a four-star hotel. On TripAdvisor, it was ranked 34 out of 55, which wasn't particularly great, but did have a 65% rating and thought, you know what, I'll give that a try. It was an absolute hidden gem. It was clean, it was bright, it was comfortable, it was warm. It was everything that you wanted at a good price. And it was one that sort of you came away recommending off the back of that. On the flip side... a few years after that, I was backpacking around South America, and very few of the hotel reviews are actually available on TripAdvisor. That's one thing I would like to see more of. Sorry, not the hotel reviews, the hostel reviews. There are various hostel booking websites, mm-hmm. and they have very good reviews on there from the people who stayed there about, you know, cold showers, great staff, party hostel, all this kind of stuff. But if that could be amalgamated into TripAdvisor, so when you go to TripAdvisor, you get all the hotels that are available in a place, all the hostel, all the accommodation that's there. That would be great. The last one, when I was in England last year, I came across one also on TripAdvisor, which had decidedly mixed reviews. A lot of people were saying there was renovation work taking place, that there was a few bad odours around the place that couldn't be shaken. And I was really, really nervous. The reason why I'd picked this one, because I'd gone to Trivago. As you mentioned earlier, it's a site where you go, you put in the dates that you're staying somewhere, the location where you want to stay, and it gives you, it compares all the price comparison websites, and it gives you sort of, you know, if you book through
which one
this
is the cheapest on this date.
Exactly, yeah. the various prices. I would then go from there and cross compare it with what TripAdvisor would have to say. And went through various options, and TripAdvisor was saying, not great, not great, not great. Came across one and it had mixed reviews, and I thought, okay, it's not brilliant, but I'm going to give it a chance because it's such a good price. And I went to this hotel and it was so fantastic. It was ranked a 3-star hotel, but I swear it should have been a 5-star hotel. Yeah. It was amazing. And it's the only one that I've found that I haven't posted a review on TripAdvisor yet, but for this one I would. I took all the photos, I made all my little notes, my little notebook about all the great things about it. And what I particularly loved about this particular hotel and TripAdvisor was that everybody who made a comment on the hotel replied to them and said, thank you for posting this. We appreciate that you had a great time in general. We're disappointed that this particular aspect of your stay didn't, you know, sort of match your expectations. We'll try to do better on that. So I think that's a great way that hotels can endear themselves to the people who are booking.
Yeah, if they respond.
That's exactly it.
Occasionally they respond. I've often written to hotels and they respond. They don't do anything about your concern anyway. Thank you for that. James, you didn't realise you were going to be hearing from a focus group today. But there you go. We should send you their bill.
We always appreciate feedback from the community on how we can make the site better. That's what we're always striving towards.
But you were coming...
And actually, I should say we have added hostels now. So if you go on, you can look at speciality lodgings, of which hostels are included. So we have included them.
You can, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's not a full list in every city. I noticed that a hostel that I stayed in Bolivia is actually ranked 6 out of 40-odd speciality lodgings, which also include eco-lodges and boutique hotels and all that kind of thing. But I know the amount of hostels per se in the city is an awful lot more that's actually listed on TripAdvisor. So I think it's a work in progress, but it's a very, very good work in progress.
Now, our Sinead is a real traveller, James. I think you're gleaning
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no.
That's why she's sitting here, but whereas I'm not. She is.
There's not many places I haven't gone.
You know, our aim is to be, you know, the most comprehensive place for accommodations in the world. And at the moment, we've got over 3.5 million businesses listed. But I'm sure she's quite correct that there's hostels and hotels out there that haven't yet been listed and around the world. And we want to get them on the site. And it's growing all the time. We're getting new businesses added every day.
Well, you're doing more and more in Ireland anyway. That's the plan. You're going to expand here. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we've late last year we announced that we were setting up an office here in Dublin, and what's special about this is it's our first major engineering hub outside of the United States. And when we refer to engineering, we're talking about web engineering. So it's the people that, you know, the kind of the technical guys who are able to build the site features, who make the site what it is really. They're able to make it as user friendly as possible, and. Basically, we set up the office here in Dublin because we wanted to tap into the great talent pool of engineers that you have here. And as I say, it's the first of its kind to be established outside of the US for us. So it's a really big deal. And a lot of the features that they'll be working on are, you know, some of the major features on the site that are going to be seen by millions of people around the world.
Good. And how many people will you employ?
Well, we're hoping to get to about 50-60 within sort of 2-3 years. We're already into double figures, so we're well on track for that.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, James, for talking to us today. And if you didn't know about it, now you do. And you can visit our website for more details, rte.ie/Mooney.